This is Sean with Voices of Rocky Ripple, and I'm speaking to Dan Axler. Is that the proper pronunciation of your last name, sir?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Close enough.
All right. So I was able to meet you years ago when my mom got involved for the whole park whole scenario, and I know you were instrumental in helping that. But just to get a little bit of your backstory, where were you born?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia more than anywhere else.
Okay.
And moved out here in 1980 and been in Rocky Ripple since 1988.
How did you hear about Rocky Ripple?
Got lost here. I think I did, actually. No, I just ride my bike around, and I always like being near the river and seeing water and hiking around, and this was an interesting place, and I moved into a canal house in 88 and then met the girl next door, almost, my wife Candy Kendall. Met her in 89 and been together ever since, and now we're finally in our third house together. So we met in 89, married in 99, and moved in together in 05, and we're lucky enough to be in a lovely house on the river.
That's beautiful. So what's been your career throughout your life? Or what types of things have you been involved in helping the world?
Oh, helping the world. Well, I was a public servant. I was a bureaucratic artist with the State Department of Health. 31 years of taking photographs of governors and dignitaries and whatnot, and doing education and documentation of events in the government.
Okay. Now, bringing up the government of Rocky Ripple, if you could explain the structure of how Rocky Ripple has sustained being a town within Marion County and a little bit of the history of that and why that's unique for
sure.
Rocky Ripple compared to the rest of this whole county.
Well, you know, Marion County went through Unigov and they joined a lot of functions of the government. Other than the school districts. That's the one glaring omission. So we've got all the different school districts, IPS and Washington Township and whatnot. Rocky Ripple is, of course, in Washington Township, so we use their schools. Rocky Ripple is a third-class town, by definition, in Indiana government. There's 13, I believe, 11 or 13 included towns. So tiny towns like Crow's Nest, Williams Creek, Rocky Ripple, and a bunch of others are in the county. The definition of a town meaning we hire a marshal or a sheriff, and we have a town board. So we pay for streetlights, we pave the streets, we pay for our marshal, and we also have a park. And there's also four excluded towns in Marion County, like Speedway, Lawrence, Cumberland, and one other town I can't think of offhand. But anyway, the park system, I was lucky enough to be on the town board back in the day, back in 98, 99, and we found out that a large chunk of land in the middle of town, almost, what, 4 or 5 acres, I think, once we were done with it, but your grandma, Mabel, owned a chunk of land, and it was basically in disuse, and I believe the story went something like when Ed, the granddad, passed on, Mabel said, I'm going to sell this off, let it go to tax sale or whatever, and then we expressed interest as a town board. So Steve Schaefer and Carl Gaff Clark and myself, back in the day, were on the board. Stu Rhodes, who was a Indianapolis County Councilman at one point and friend of your family, he was the in-between guy, the go-to guy, and made it possible for the town of Rocky Ripple to buy this land, which is now called Park, through tax sale. And Mabel, being the lovely, benevolent woman that she was, said, look, guys, I think that's a great idea. Buy this, make it a park. If you redeem the tax sale, you know, the money owed, I will donate the same amount of money to go towards the playground. So, indeed, I think the town, this is a classic Rocky Ripple story. So So there's three board members and a clerk treasurer in Rocky Ripple. And we went through all this, all the steps with lawyers to get the tax bill settled. And we sold an old antique fire truck, the Rocky Ripple Volunteer Fire Truck. So back in the day, we had the Volunteer Fire Department. And it shut down due to the fact that most people were at work. And, you know, that's not really helpful if you have to run up to Rocky Ripple from downtown at work. So we threw that over to Indianapolis Fire for protection. But we still had the truck, and we sold the truck. And we raised some money, and the Holt family gave us some money, and we put in the playground, brand spanking new, real nice playground, back in about 99.
Right.
And then, and we've kept it up, and we've spent money since to, basically, you've got to do maintenance on things. You've got to, you know, replace worn out parts, keep it safe, do the mulch, put in new edging, and keep it tidy and shiny. So we do that. And then, I'll just keep going on about the park, because it was, frankly, putting the park together was the thing that I'm the most proud of in my public service time in Rocky Ripple. So we acquired a number of lots, and some of which took a lot of years of asking and talking and, lobbying. Butler University gave us some land, which is now named after Gwen Fountain, who was acting president for a while. So over at 53rd and Patterson, we have a park, and Holt Park, of course, and we bought some other land and joined it in with Holt Park. And there was a guy named Ferguson that gave us two lots that are Peace Park up at, Byram and 53rd. And then we've got a bunch of land. Megan Wright gave us a lot that she owned behind her house. And I kept an eye on tax sales, and we bought some other land and on Patterson. So we've got four lots over there. So we are real fortunate that we have the land and people to volunteer. We rezoned them as parkland, so they're officially parkland. We don't pay taxes because we're government. And the back in the day in 99 and early 2000s, a lot of volunteers within the town of Rocky Ripple got together. John Blakely did a design for a pavilion, and we got all sorts of materials donated and sweat equity. A lot of folks got together, and I can't think of his name, it'll come to me, but one of our local guys' dads worked at J. Everett Light Career Center, and he brought in his students and did all the framing and carpentry work for the pavilion. And then, you got to pay for some things, like concrete work and stone work. But by and large, we created, and Greg Porter, our representative, gave us some money back in the day. It used to be called Build Indiana Funds, and he gave us money to help with building the pavilion, which is well used. And Teresa Lubbers also gave us money back in the day. What did we buy? We bought a snowplow, and we bought a police car back then. So we've had good relationship with the city government and the state government. And I will say, in these strange times of 2020 and coming up in 2021, we're in the early days of it, and these are nervous, anxious times. And I'm especially proud of the fact that we have a park, and that people can go into the park and play and wander around and enjoy nature and just have some peace. And one other group that really, really helped us out a lot in the park with trees and bushes and all nature of green things is the good folks that keep Indianapolis beautiful. We wander around the park and look at these trees that we planted, you know, 20 some years ago that are now, holy cow, you know, tall, big trees. It's great. So it's wonderful to be in a town for as long as I've been, you know, longer than some and shorter than others, but, you know, long enough that my grandson lives here and he plays in the park. So that's pretty good.
That's beautiful. So what are some of your personal visions of how the park could be improved down the road?
Good question. One thing we're kicking around, because we did just get a nice donation from a fellow that you may know, your uncle. I don't know if you know that or not. But
I did hear that.
Cheers. Yeah, excellent. So as always, our friends, the Holtz, have been very generous, and we have a park endowment that is with the Central Indiana Community Foundation, and it's sitting there earning money, being reinvested. They're real good at that. So we now are planning with this extra money and the money that we've got to bring in the next level of play equipment. A funny thing that's been happening lately, you know, you watch what kids do and it kind of tips you off. Okay, so the playground is great, as is. It's good for, you know, kids up to a certain age, and then kids get a little older, you know, the early teen years, and they've been putting the benches up on end and climbing up onto the roof of the pavilion, which is a, you know, typical kid thing to do. So you walk by and there's kids on the roof and you're like, hey, what are you doing up there? You know, get down, you knuckleheads. So, you know, there's a little bit of damage to the roof, no big whoop, but, you know, we're worried that they're going to get hurt. You know, they're climbing on the damn roof, get off. So anyway, we're thinking, well, look, they're telling us something. They need something that to climb on that's a little bigger. So we are in the planning stages of building a, for an older age group, a climbing structure that's safe and will last and has the soft fall mulch around it so they can get up there and, you know, and be in a safe way to get up a little higher than the little kids. And I think that's going to be our next move. So some installation of a slightly older age group.
Are we talking about structure, kind of a treehouse plateau?
Yeah. You know, if you could climb up to it via either, you know, hand over hand, you know, like a scaling a rock climbing kind of thing, or ropes or whatever. Just something that they can get up into a structure that has a railing around it, so they can't just fall off and just climb up high and get the bird's eye view and stay off the roof of the pavilion, you know?
A thought that I've already kind of assessed: on the opposite side of the pavilion, there's a ring of trees that is almost perfect to be able to put a platform up in that ring that's just probably about 40, 50 feet on the opposite side of the playground from the pavilion. So I think that would be a very, because you could encompass within the tree circle itself beneath the platform, kind of a little club hangout area.
Absolutely. Well, we refer to that as the sugar shack. My wife named it such. And what we've learned is when you really get in there and look at the trees, one tree fell down last year, another tree fell down. If you get in and really eyeball them, you realize, ooh, this is a chunk of trees, as nice as it is to give you a little hidey spot. They're really kind of wee trees, and perhaps for safety reasons, they all need to come down.
Not be the best structure. Got it.
Yeah, so what's been brought up, because, you know, you've got the Community Association, which became an entity that kind of transitioned from the Ladies Auxiliary Fire Department group, and then that kind of died off, and we picked it up and made it the Community Association. So you've got a group of board members that are elected, and they have bylaws, and everyone that lives in Rocky Ripple is a member. And they can, you know, we invite people to get as involved as they wish. And then you've got the town board, which is, you know, a duly elected political entity that they are really the ones that are ultimately responsible for what goes on in the park and safety and insurance and lighting and, you know, all that good stuff. So the board of the community group will say, hey, we'd like to do this. And then we pitch it to them, and then, you know, they may offer suggestions and refinements. And that's how it'll move forward. But Mandy Redman has already said, you know, those trees, they're really problematic. Maybe we need to look at them. And so I think we're going to move forward this year in 2021 to put together, clear out those trees, perhaps, any that need to go, and then put together a more age-appropriate, older kid climbing structure.
That's great.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So what's some of your personal favorite moments that you've experienced with neighbors or friends, and if you want to mention them, just some really great bonding moments either in the park or at other people's places, and what's just some great story moments that you've enjoyed living in Rocky Ripple?
Well, when I was on the town board, I guess one that always makes me chuckle, when I was on the town board, you know, sometimes there'd be something that you have to get people to sign. I forget what the need was, but in essence, we had to get people to sign off on something. And there was like one last person remaining that needed to sign it. So I went and knocked on the door, and nobody was around. So I went around to the back of the house, and this person lived on the river. And indeed, they were out on a raft in the river, and I waved and we chatted, and I said, I got something to if you wouldn't mind signing, and she paddled over to the shore and, you know, signed off on whatever it was, and, you know, that was it. So that was kind of an oddball fun thing. You know, every year we've got except last year, of course, we've got the Rocky Ripple Festival, and that's always a big fun event. You know, one thing that happened, this is, you know, just the nature of 2020 being, you know, the dumpster fire that it was. So everyone was kind of locked down. But in Rocky Ripple, I've never lived in a place that has so many artists and musicians and, you know, creative people. And a lot of, you know, very, very talented musicians were hurting because they couldn't get out and play their music and earn their money. So what they were doing, excuse me, is setting up concerts on their lawn and saying, hey, we're going to do this. You know, we want you to come and be safe, so come and sit the required feet apart, wear your mask. There's lots of land here, and that worked really well. And then people were saying, hey, let's do that in the park. So Holt Park got put to use during the COVID time, and people would come and set up, and turn the electricity on, set up their music gear and rock on out. So we didn't get a festival, and we missed that, but folks said, well, you know, we can still do something. So that was very nice.
That is great. That's beautiful. So is there anything else you'd like to add, just in general?
Good God. In general, you know, I have never lived somewhere that I liked so much. I'm standing in my house looking out at the river. The river that, by the way, has never, ever overtopped the existing levee. But it would seem that, you know, there's good reason to beef up the levee. And, you know, ever since it was built in 1937, people have been talking about improving it. And it looks very likely that Rocky Ripple will get some sort of flood protection built along the back of most of the houses. So, which is kind of, there's been a lot of discussion back and forth, and I see both sides of the argument, but it's ultimately going to be kind of hellish to live next door to a massive construction project.
Sure.
Then when it's done, yeah, you know, that'll be good that you don't have to pay flood insurance if you have a mortgage, but your taxes will indeed go up and building will start and the town will change. But that's just the nature of public works projects. I mean, it's safety for most, and you're going to lose a little bit of view and a little bit of access. and that's the thing. The river is why a lot of people move here, and it's quite nice to throw your kayak in and paddle around or go wading about. So, yeah, it's a great place to live.
Well, Dan, I really appreciate your time. You've been able to cover a lot of different details that I'm not sure if everybody knew, you know, the kind of the backstory of a lot of different areas you touched on. But if you could just stay on the line for a second, I appreciate your time, and I'm going to close this one out.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you listening to me give the rundown.
You got it.